As you're turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 18, let me just welcome again everyone who's here this evening. And let me just say that it's a real joy to minister God's Word to you. I have to admit, I minister God's Word tonight as a father, and then as a dear friend of a family, and then as a pastor to Matt and to Laura. So there's a lot of emotions going on in my heart and mind this evening. And so if occasionally a little tear may come down out of my eye, I pray that you'll be patient with me. It's a real joy to minister the Word of God this evening, and with the specialness of this service, I was very thankful to the Lord that He gave me a text so quickly so that I wouldn't have to worry about where I was going to go. And that's this passage in Acts 18 from verses 22 through chapter 19, verse 1. I don't know if it's helpful for you as we start in the very beginning, but I want to do just a really quick summary of all that I'm going to try to say. And I'll say it like this. The theme of the message this evening is simply this: needing others to grow in grace and in ministry. Needing others to grow in grace and in ministry. And so my intention this evening is to think about how we need Paul's and how we need Apollos's, how we need Priscilla's and Aquila's, and how we need the church and how we need grace. And ultimately, if you can take away from the message the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, where he says, "I planted and Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase." So that gives you like a quick summary, if you will, of all that I want to say. As we come this evening to this special service, I thought it might be a blessing to take up this text. As we think about and are thankful for the influence that others have had on our life, on our walk with the Lord, and on our salvation, and even the role that we have in ministry for some of us. In a sense, what I'm going to talk about this evening is a working out of verses like 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. I'd like you to turn over there, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Sincere love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Another way of explaining what I'm trying to work out tonight is that I think this text plays out for us what Pastor Stu was preaching for us a couple of Sundays ago. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and having love and having humility and preferring one another as we think about the work of ministry. It is true, more than we can imagine, that we need each other in the ministry and in the church. We need each other to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it might be true for some of us here this evening that we've dismissed ourselves as far as usefulness, as far as our ability to minister in the church. But I think as we go into our text this evening, I think you'll say that that needs to be rejected. That needs to be put away. Maybe you're discouraged this evening because as you've ministered to others, you've been rejected or you've been pushed back. And so may the examples that we see this evening help you. Jacob, well, there you are, Jacob and Nathan and Matt and Laura, tonight you share your testimony. You share how the Lord used people in your life to show you Christ and to strengthen you. And your testimonies are going to remind us as the people of God that we need to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. We need to keep sowing to the Spirit so that we will see a harvest. So what I'm going to do is use each of the characters that I was just saying a little while ago as our guide. And I want to give just some basic thoughts along those lines this evening. And that's what Luke is doing for us in this text. He's highlighting several gospel workers in these verses. So let's start with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in verses 22 and verse 23. And notice what it says there. It says in verse 22, when he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and he greeted the church. And then he went down to Antioch. And after spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Paul had brought the gospel to Corinth, and he had worked as a tent maker with Aquila and with Priscilla. And then he had left Ephesus to head on another trip. And then, as we saw right here at the end of the chapter, he leaves this area to go back to Galatia and to Phrygia and to strengthen the churches. The idea of the word there is to make stronger. That is, that these believers, they had strength, but they needed more spiritual strength. And so the Apostle Paul is going to go and he's going to help them. The idea of the word might be to prop up in a way or to give help as the idea that of what may be coming ahead. So that as the Apostle Paul went to each of these churches, he was thinking about what might come ahead in their spiritual walk, what might come ahead as far as trials or difficulties. And so he's strengthening them. He's propping them up so that as these things come along in the lives of these believers, they're going to be established and they're going to be able to endure. Surely the Apostle Paul would have reviewed with these believers the promises of God. He would have gone over various promises from the Old Testament and shared them with these different believers. Surely he would have gone over again with these believers the things about the life of Christ. And he would have preached Christ crucified to them. And he would have preached about the ministry of Jesus to them. And they would have been so encouraged as they heard again how Christ had come into their life, how he had delivered them from their sins, how they had turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. Paul went from place to place, from church to church, just strengthening believers who were in those churches. And so let me make two quick points here. The first one may not be so obvious, but that God moves his servants from place to place. And we need to deal with that sometimes. The Lord wants the Apostle Paul to go from Phrygia and into Galatia. He doesn't want him to stay at Ephesus. Doesn't quite make sense at the moment, but the Lord has a great work that he's doing. And I want you to notice, secondly, how these churches needed to be strengthened by the apostle. And we need to remember this, and that there are different phases of ministry. Sometimes there's the evangelistic phase, and sometimes there's the strengthening phase. And for these particular churches, it was time where they needed to be strengthened and built up in the Lord. And maybe that's a time that we're in our assembly right now, where we need this strengthening phase, where we're building one another up in the Lord, and where we're teaching one another, and where we as the pastors are teaching you more about the things of God. The Lord is always ready to build up his church, and he knows what our church needs. And you can go back to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you can see that. So Paul was there at the right time, the very right time. And hasn't he done that for us as well? When we've needed strengthening, when we've needed the word of God, when we've needed promises, when we've needed to be reminded by the Lord, hasn't he come with his word and hasn't he strengthened us? The Lord knows, in other words, tonight, everyone, the Lord knows how to minister to us. The Lord knows how to strengthen us. The Lord knows how to build us up. Well, let's move on then to this man named Apollos. And Apollos is someone that it was really exciting to study more about. You see, Luke's moving along, and then Luke just stops and lets us all find out about this man named Apollos. And he gives, as it were, if you look at these words carefully, it's rather like Apollos' testimony. Just like these are going to give tonight as they share their testimony. Luke's going to give something of a testimony of Apollos. Like I said, much like these four are doing tonight. What do we know about him? Well, we know that he was a Jew from the very important region of Alexandria. In fact, I read somewhere that there may have been as many as a million Jews in that area. There were a lot of Jews. And of course, that was the area where the Septuagint had been translated as well. And it just so happens that as Paul is leaving Ephesus, the Lord is bringing Apollos to this place. It doesn't make sense, but God has his perfect plan. What does Luke especially tell us about this man named Apollos? Well, you find that in verses 24b through, I think, through verse 25. Listen to what it says about him. First of all, it says that he was eloquent. That is, he had ability to explain and to speak. We can go to the book of 1 Corinthians and find more about that. It says to us that he was competent in the scriptures. He was able to use the scriptures and to open up the scriptures to those that were listening to him. He knew verses. They readily came to his mind as he spoke of them. It said that he had been instructed already. He had either received good instruction, either maybe by those that had come to that area, but he had been instructed already. It says further of him that he was fervent in spirit. And one of the writers said that if you can take good biblical solid knowledge and doctrine and you can put it with passion and emotion, the Lord can greatly use that as the word of God goes out. He was neither just kind of a dull theologian, if you will, or neither was he just someone who could speak with emotion but didn't have much content in what he was trying to say. He had both of those things together. And the scriptures tell us that he spoke and he taught accurately the things about Jesus. As much as he had learned about the Lord Jesus from whoever or whomever he had learned, he was faithfully teaching that and he was preaching that and he was ministering to that with great effectiveness. So that in the synagogue, he was a bold speaker. Now, I don't think when we hear the word bold, we have to necessarily think that he was shouting really loud or speaking really loud. But when he would speak to the people, there was a conviction in what he was saying and in how he was ministering to the people. In other words, he was a gifted speaker and preacher of the word of God. And he was preaching and expounding according to the light that he had from God. What he knew, he preached mightily. Now, at this point, then, I want to leave Apollos to the side and introduce you to two special workers of God named Aquila and Priscilla. And probably most of us here are familiar with Aquila and Priscilla, but let's look at them just for a minute. And we'll find Aquila and Priscilla over here in verse 26 in the second half of the verse. It says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, these two dear servants of the Lord are found all throughout, it seems, the book of Acts. It seems like they're just kind of going from this place, and then they're in that place, and then they're in this place, and then they've got a church in their house. They're just kind of everywhere. They're kind of travelers, if you will. We know back from chapter 18, verse 2, that they had been with Paul in Corinth and that they had worked with him. And I could ask some of you children and you might remember what the Apostle Paul's trade was. And that was he was a tent maker. That is, he worked with leather. And so Paul found Aquila and Priscilla and he worked with them and he labored alongside of them. And you can see from Acts 18, verse 2, where it says, recently came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers. And so can you imagine what it would have been like? These are tent makers, you guys. They're not theologians. They're not the people who are, you know, on our phones that we, you know, listen to. They're tent makers. And Paul's living at their house. And Paul's sitting at their table. And he's telling them about Jesus Christ. And he's telling them about the promises of God. And he's explaining truth to them. And Priscilla and Aquila, they're just listening and asking questions and growing in the things of the Lord. And then they're all making their tents during the day or whenever they did their leather work. And together they're there in Corinth doing this gospel work. What conversations they must have had together there in that maybe small little place. But you see, one of the things about the Apostle Paul was that he was glad to labor with them. He loved them in the Lord. And he's a model to us that no servants of Christ should be looked down upon. There aren't like levels of servants of Christ in the church. And Paul was working right along beside of them and ministering with them. Now, as we move along, the Apostle Paul leaves. Aquila and Priscilla are now in Ephesus. And I want you to think about this little experience that happens. As they're attending the synagogue, this man that I've just told you about, this Apollos person, this accomplished, well-speaking man who opens the scriptures, is there in the synagogue. And you can hear Priscilla and Aquila saying, "Have you heard this guy? Man, he is speaking well about Christ. But there are areas where he needs to do better. He needs to do more." Do you remember those truths that the Apostle Paul has been teaching us back in Corinth? Do you remember? Priscilla says, "Yes, I remember." And then Priscilla says to Aquila, "And you know about Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit and the order of the church." And Aquila says, "Yeah, that's true." And so probably Priscilla said, well, let's have him come to the house and eat with us and be with us. Maybe we can share some of the truths that we've learned from the Apostle Paul back in Corinth." So if you notice the word here in the verse, it says this. It says, verse 26, "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And the idea of taking him to the side is this, that they took him to themselves. Okay? They made him part of what you might call their welcoming company. And so probably over a period of time, Apollos would be going over to Aquila and Priscilla's house and learning and growing and understanding more of the scriptures. Now, there's several thoughts I'd like to make right here. I want you all, as the people of God, water here. I want you all, as the people of God, to be encouraged by this. Sorry to take a drink. We are not all pastors and teachers of the word, right? But we can share and explain the truths that we have received from the Lord. We can edify one another. We can speak to one another, and we can build one another up in the Lord. As the scripture says, we can speak the truth in love. We can pray. And so, let me just challenge you and make this point more clearly. Don't miss those chances. Don't ignore them. Think about what might have happened here had they said that they were too busy or too tired or too old or too uneducated or they had become ingrown and discouraged. You see, they learned much from Paul. And they learned truth from Paul. And they had him in their home. And they knew the truths of the scriptures. And their hearts burned with those truths. And they wanted other people to know those truths. And so they took courage. And they had the brother Apollos over. So might I challenge you as the Lord's people. Don't wait. But have maybe other pastors over. Or have other believers over. And share and teach and give to them the word of God. One lesson that we can take away from Aquila and Priscilla was that they were always serving the Lord in the ways that they could. Listen to these just two scriptures tonight. Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Prisca, I guess that was the short name. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ. What an honor. We call a fellow worker with Paul, not like, an assistant, You know, we're really good on titles, aren't we, and status. You know, there's associate professor, there's full professor, and then there's assistant professor, and then there's lecturer, you know, or whatever, like they do my work. But Paul calls them fellow workers in Christ Jesus. One more scripture, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. Well, now let's go back to Apollos, okay? So here you have these humble servants of God who want to share the things that God has given to them. And we have this man named Apollos. And I know it's not structurally probably right. I should have just stayed with Apollos and then moved on to Aquila and Priscilla. But I want to go back to Apollos now. And I want you to think about this. Apollos also had deep humility and a teachable spirit. And how rare that can be, I'm sure. But he did. He had a teachable and he had a humble spirit. He would be trained in gospel ministry, not by a university professor and not by the Apostle Paul, but by these tent makers. And I don't mean that as a cut down of them, but by these tent makers. He listened. He was willing. His heart was humble and full of love and full of lowliness, as that word should be meant. And so he goes to their home and he listens to what they're saying and he grows and he applies the word of God. And over this period of time, he begins to make progress. And we'll see that in just a little while. See everybody, look, we're given just a season to do the work of God. If you have a discipleship relationship you have right now, know that it's for a season. For Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla, it was just for a season. And then Apollos would go on into ministry. And so we need to take up that season. We need to find brothers and sisters to pour our lives in, to give ourselves to in discipleship and in receiving that discipleship and building it up in the Lord. I'd like to share a story right here, if it would help. When I was a teacher up in New Jersey, I had the privilege of visiting one of the families in the church, the Rimbach family. Vince was a carpenter, and Ann worked as the personal secretary for Pastor Martin. And they lived in a modest, very small home, and they didn't have a lot of money. But they loved the Lord, and they were always having people into their house. And it was always a time when you would grow in God by hearing what they had to say and what they had to share. And as they brought the word of God into my life, and I can remember how wonderful it was when Vince, who I think is now with the Lord, would just open up the Bible and share the basic truths that were in that word to me as we were at the table. It was a great blessing. They were a model of pouring the word of God into those that were around them and to be those of prayer. The next thing that I'd like to say about Apollos, not only is he lowly and is he humble of spirit, but then once this season stopped, according to verse 27, notice what happens in discipleship, right? We just don't say, boy, you know, I've just been growing in the Lord. But then the Lord's like, okay, you've grown a little bit. Now you need to give, right? And so Apollos, according to verse 27, he wishes to cross over to Achaia and ministers the word of God, to give others the word of God now. And his desire is to go to Achaia. And before I leave on to talk about his next part of his ministry, I'd ask you the question, do you have that deep humility of Apollos? Well, let's move on to the next group of people, and that's the brothers. That's the brothers. So Apollos, he wants to go to Achaia. He wants to minister the things of the Lord that he's been learning, these ways in which he's been growing. And so notice that it says that the brothers encourage him. They begin to see this growth in Apollos. They begin to see him ministering Christ. And so what these brothers do is not only do they encourage him, but then they even write a letter of commendation. And you can imagine how much that must have meant to Apollos, that these brothers not only saw him as a minister, but as someone who they wanted to commend to go to Corinth. This group that he's going to in Achaia, especially in Corinth, Paul had ministered to them. Paul had preached Christ to them. And now Apollos is going to go to them and he's going to minister as well. And notice what happens. According to verse 27, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. He greatly helped those who through grace had believed. He began to minister to the Corinthian people. He began to water what the Apostle Paul had done there. And they began to grow and to be stronger in the Lord. And so, as the verse says, I planted, the Apostle Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I think we can see how we each have a place of ministry. The Apostle Paul has a place of ministry. Apollos has a place of ministry. And Aquila and Priscilla have a place of ministry. All right, well, we've kind of run through the different characters in the text. And we've seen how the grace of God has worked in those who have believed. And so let me just make a few final applications before we transition into the baptism time. First of all, to the church here this evening, I want you to see how Christ can be raising up help and strengthening for his church. Christ can be raising up and bringing strengthening to his church. Paul's supposed to go to Galatia and he's supposed to bring strength. And Apollos is supposed to go to Achaia and help those who through grace have believed. And so we don't need to worry. The second thing that I would say to you is take up the opportunities that Christ has in front of you to serve and explain the Word of God. What would have happened had Aquila and Priscilla quit and not shared? You see, because they shared and just gave to the Apollos what God had given them, then Apollos goes and he does what? He really blesses Corinth. And we know what Corinth, I mean, they had some ups and some way downs, right? But Apollos was there. He was able to minister to them and to minister to a great amount of people. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? You're like, there's like you, and then there's that person, and then there's some other blessing. I mean, isn't that what we're going to hear tonight? In these testimonies that Jacob and Nathan and the Comptons, someone said, someone planted a seed, and then someone else did something, and then it's that great work of the Lord. So take up the opportunities that are in front of you. You just never know. I know just a couple of nights ago, we had a friend of some of the guys, and he was saying how he shared the gospel with a lady who needed air in her tires. You know? Now, maybe we'll never see this lady again, but who knows what Christ might do with the lady who needed air in her tires, who didn't know the Lord, who was prayed for. And then maybe she'll move on and then she'll be able to impact others. And then a burden that was really on my heart tonight is that as I look out tonight, I expected to see all you young people again. And I know that there's danger, you guys, in overemphasizing gospel ministry. And I'm not here to guilt you into ministry. But I don't want us to go in the other way and extreme as well. And so let me just ask you a question. Could God be calling you to serve in ministry in some greater capacity of ministry? Now, maybe not yet to be a pastor or a deacon or a missionary or some other worker here in the church, a Sunday school teacher or other kind of servant, a steward, and on I could go. But is God calling you to some kind of service? I think there are a number of you that God has really had his hand on your heart and on your life. And I just want to challenge you to think about that and to pray over that. And then allow the church and the brothers and the leaders to pour into you and to help you as you move along in your walk with God. We need more Apollos, don't we? They're not there yet, right? They're not the Apostle Paul, but we need the Apollos. We need you. And last, Jacob, Nathan, Matt, and Laura, we need you to serve in our church. And we need you to bring the Word of God to us, to give us God's promises, to give us God's even rebukes. We need you. And we don't want you to think, and I think Pastor Michael did that in his prayer, we don't want you to think that as you come in, you know, we'll tell you, and you just got to stay in your little place. And we want to grow from you. We want to serve you. We want you to serve us. And you may not be a full-time pastor, or you may not be a minister, but you can do great good in this church for Jesus Christ. We need more Aquilas and Priscillas, and we need more Apollos, and we need more Pauls. But ultimately tonight, we need more grace, don't we? We need more of God's grace in all of our lives, where we're relying on that grace and we're trusting in that grace, not in our own strength and not in our own power, not in our own might and not in our own ability to convince people, but totally and entirely in Jesus Christ. We need one another to grow in grace and in ministry. So let's get busy, or let's keep being busy and showing others the grace of God. Amen.